Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Have you packed your bags?
I have, and I haven't. I didn't want to pack. You know what it's like. I didn't want to get the kids really excited about going in case the passport didn't turn up. That was the main thing. But it did, and I've packed, and yay, we're actually going to get on a plane. How exciting.
So by the time this podcast goes out, you're going to actually be sunning yourself, singing Club Tropicana, drinks are free. You're going to have such a great time.
I know. Hopefully the kids will be in the kids' club. by this time, if anyone's listening to the podcast, just positive kids club thoughts for me.
Yeah,
can't believe it time. I know, there's quite a lot of hurdles to go through,
yes,
to get away now, isn't there? And just the passport situation was just the, you know, that just topped it off. But anyway, did all the admin, filled in all the forms, done.
Brilliant. Now Woo-hoo. You've got a couple of days just to get that last minute holiday shopping in. Now, you know, when you're like, I don't think I need another bikini, but click, hello ASOS, it's coming tomorrow.
Don't. When the delivery man's like, oh hi, you're gonna have a different driver tomorrow because I'm off. It's just like he knows there's gonna be a parcel every single day.
Stacking up outside George's house.
Like, but I've told him, you know, you put your stuff at the side of the house, blah 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 blah. And I think, oh shit.
Oh god,
this is becoming a problem. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good, although I'm cringing because I've got to make a confession on today's podcast about, I think, possibly one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me in my parenting life happened yesterday morning. So yeah. I was getting kit ready in his bedroom, and Luna and Isla were in our bedroom. Dozer was in the shower before school, everything fine, you know, hustle and bustle of the morning. And suddenly I heard this. He's managed to get our toothbrush charged up because we haven't been able to find our charger since going back from skiing. I walked into the bedroom and Isla had opened up my top drawer and they had my vibrator and they had turned it on.
Oh my God, I want to die for you. Oh my God, what did you do?
Luna went, what's this, mummy? And I went, it's a back vibrator. And I went, put it down. Then it slipped out of her hand and it was sort of bouncing around on the bed.
Oh my God.
Kit came in. Mummy, what's that? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, right, get out, everyone out of the room. Oh, and I like hustled the kids out. And Dozza came out. He was crying with laughter.
Oh my God, I want to die. That is so embarrassing. Do you know what though?
What?
Why do they always find, like, firstly, why do they always do things like that? Why do they always go through your top drawers? But why do we think they won't? Secondly, that actually something not similar happened to me. But when I'd moved out, oh God, it's actually just made me think of it. I can't even believe I'm going to say it out loud because I feel sick. I actually feel sick. I'd moved out. I'd moved to Scotland, I think, with James. And my dog was down, like, staying with my mum and dad at the time. And obviously dogs love rubber things, don't they? Like, it's like they can sniff out rubber. And he ran into my parents' room with my vibrator in his mouth. Can you actually imagine? And my mum, bless, like, my mum doesn't care. She likes laughing about it. But she's like, Dad told me not to tell you because he's too embarrassed. And obviously she then has to tell me. So then for the next, like, 6 months, I literally don't even think I could look at my dad in the eye. I just wanted to, like, I just wanted the world to swallow me up. But that I haven't even thought about that until you've just said it. And now I just feel...
Thing is, there's nowhere to go with that. Because you then at that point can't go, bring back the rubber ball that was in my top drawer that vibrates. I just keep it there for, you know, fun activities. It's just like, it's just a vibrator and your dog's got it in his mouth.
Someone bought it for me. Yeah. For a joke. Jesus.
Like this happens to me. I say it's the most embarrassing thing. I feel like this whole house is a booby trap to discover sex toys and various other things that have been sent. Remember when I was doing the sex show with Anna on Sunday Nights in the Park?
Yeah.
The boxes and boxes and boxes, and this is my excuse and I'm sticking to it, of dildos and sex toys and all kinds of other things like tape and nipple clamps and I just haven't got rid of them. And do you remember that? This is so bad. I love where this podcast has gone. Have I told you the story of when we were in our rental house? We hadn't realized, but one of the, and I think it must have been because we were moving out and things were just getting moved around the house, we were sort of just grabbing things from various rooms and putting them into the kitchen, but in the top drawer was like a pen, like, you know, one of those bullets,
yeah,
those like bullet like a clitoral bullet. It was pink and it looked like a lipstick, and we had some mates round, and Luna and Effie were running around this island, around our island. Effie opened the top drawer, by the way, there were two other sets of parents there, pulled out the lipstick clitoral vibrator and put it on her lips, going, "Look at my lipstick, mummy." And Justin grabbed it and read, "That's not lipstick. Oh my God." And then, don't even ask how it got in the top drawer. Anyway, we've shared our dirty vibrator stories.
Yes, we have. And actually, do you know what? Thinking it's actually quite good that we're talking about aging today, because that time that the dog walked in with my parents, I was so embarrassed. But 10 years on, had that have happened, I probably wouldn't be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
So there we go. There's a positive of aging.
To aging. Yeah, we are going to have a conversation around aging today. And I feel like it's come at quite a kind of timely moment in life. I'm going to be turning 40 this year. And for me, it feels like a bit of a landmark, you know, whichever way you scoot around it. I'm not frightened about turning 40, but you are entering your 40s. It's a different decade. My mum still says that it was the best decade of her life and that she really felt like she came into herself at that point, and, you know, career was rocking and she, you know, her marriage was solid and we were at the point where we were a little bit older and things just became a bit more manageable, you know. But I definitely have felt in the last kind of 6 to 12 months that I'm not necessarily handling getting older as well as I thought I would. And I wanted to get your views on it before I go into mine. How do you feel about aging?
Gosh, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because we, you know, you and I have been speaking about it, and I'm so torn. I mean, there's, you know, things I'm worried about with aging, like, for instance, just actually getting older and not physically being able to do things. That kind of worries me. Also, you hear more and more, don't you, as you get a bit older, of people having like awful diseases and things that we never used to think would affect us, you know, in our 20s and 30s. Suddenly, as you start to, you know, to creep up towards 40, you hear more friends, you know, maybe getting serious illnesses. That stuff does worry me. And I think it's, I mean, I'm 32, so I'll be 33 in May. And yeah, I'm still, you know, early 30s. Yeah. I am still young. But I do think that since turning 30, I've taken my health more serious than I would have done. And I mean, we'll probably come on to like aesthetics and stuff later. But I try, I guess the thing that worries me about aging is health, actually. That's the thing that really worries me. It does. And as much as, you know, you try and bury your head in the sand, my mum had a heart attack when she was 44. Like,
oh my God,
that's
George.
Not that old. And at the time I was thinking of that she was quite old, but now, you know, I'm only what, 11 years off of that. That doesn't feel like that far away. So for me, definitely... I just guess everyone aging as well, you know, my parents aging, my grandparents, everyone, that's the bit that really, if I really think about it, that worries me a lot.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point, actually, because potentially when you hear the word aging, you think aesthetics, which, you know, we are going to cover
course,
that topic a bit later on in the podcast, but really it's about, you know, getting older and not being around to see our kids' lives. And that's the one thing that really terrifies me. You know, forget about, you know, the face and the wrinkles and all the rest of it and how I feel about that. But actually not being here for the kids is terrifying. And like you said, George, we hear so many horror stories of, you know, take Sarah Harding, for example, you know, 39 years old. That is me. You know, breast cancer. It's like it was fatal for her, and that could happen at any point. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're having these thoughts, but and it is a bit dark, and I'm wondering if anybody listening ever feels like this. But I'm sort of not expecting it, but like if it happened, like it could happen.
Yeah.
And I think that realization when you're growing up and you're sort of, you know, a kid or a teenager, early 20s, whatever, it doesn't even come into your mind that people die at our age, you know?
Exactly.
Actually, yeah. People live to old bones. There's this really arrogant view that we're all going to live to old bones. And I don't know whether everything that's happened in the world over the last couple of years has impacted those thoughts. It's like my brain is filled up with that fog, and actually that's quite scary. And my best mate Ben, he always says to me, you know what, you cannot live like that, because you're constantly living in fear of something bad happening. And actually, yeah. Brené Brown, who's one of my favorite people in the world, she's telling this story on one of her podcasts, and she said, right, everyone close their eyes and picture this scene. It's Christmas Eve. There's a family of four driving in a car. It's dark. They come off the motorway and they start driving down a dirt track, like a, you know, a country lane. And it's nighttime and it's icy. The snow starts falling. The car speeding up goes around a corner. What happens next? Now, what do you, like, immediately in my head, I think a lorry comes around the other corner and there's a fatal head-on collision. That's what I thought.
Do you?
Right? What do you think?
I don't. I just picture them skidding around the corner.
And everything's fine.
Yeah.
So isn't it interesting? Because that's where my brain is currently wired at. And that is quite a stressful place to be in. But I think, and that's something, that is definitely something to do with getting older and realizing that this like perfect life, this sort of picture life that we've got going on doesn't necessarily end up like that. And that I need to accept that.
No, and I think actually as you get older, you do naturally worry more and you do become more fearful because you hear more, you know, like little toddlers would chuck themselves off of a massive high, you know, out of a window, wouldn't they? Like they don't have the fear because they don't know the boundaries. They don't know what, they haven't heard stories. I think we're constantly being fed, you know, hearing about car accidents, plane accidents, like all these things. And I guess that builds up as you get older. I have always tried to like reason with my head, so I always try to not worry about things that you can't control. Mm-hmm. But it's not always that easy, is it? Like I do really try. I really do try to live my life like that. I was talking to a friend about it the other day, and she said, "You've become more of a worrier than you ever have been." I was always the person who didn't worry about anything. I'm still not a massive worrier, but I definitely, I don't know if it's having children. I don't know if it's getting older. I don't know what it is. Sometimes social media, you see more and hear more. So of course that's going to impact how you feel about things.
Yeah.
I think we do become more fearful, but we also become more aware as we get older.
Yeah. And do you know, and I think, I don't know if anybody listening, this resonates with them, but after my dad died, I started to think about, I mean, more than ever, I started to think about how sort of vulnerable our lives are, about how, you know, it's knife edge, isn't it? It's like, it can be over just like that. And so once you've seen that and once it's happened like that, my brain was rewired. You know, it's not all negative stuff, because actually I was probably living in like a bit of a fairy tale land that nothing bad ever happened. And, you know, it actually maybe brought me down and made me realize that I probably needed to be a little bit more streetwise and a bit more kind of like, look, shit happens. Bad things do happen. Mm. But I am worried that I'm thinking about it too much. And I actually think there's been a bit of a hangover from I've forgotten what it's called. Coronavirus. Forgotten what it's called. It's everywhere.
You've forgotten what it's called. That's great. We are COVID. Moving on.
I mean, has being at home and staring in front of the mirror for the last 2 years impacted how you see yourself?
I think what it did was it forced us to slow down and think more in general about everything. Like, there's so many things that I don't think I actually took a step back to think about before. Maybe that's why, I don't know, I just didn't think. We're so busy, like darting around everywhere. There wasn't a moment, and now there suddenly is. And I think everyone has become like more reflective and looking inwards, and just, I think it's been a huge shift in a lot of people. Maybe for the good, maybe for the bad, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think it's you know, we've been forced to sit behind laptops to do Zoom calls. You know, we're maybe alone with ourselves a bit more. We've got more time to think about things, and we've had to deal with things that we didn't think we were going to have to deal with. So I guess negatives and positives, but I think I've definitely been staring at myself a lot more. Like, you know, I don't know whether, again, like Instagram, for example, that Paris filter, you and I talk about that Paris filter a lot,
yeah,
we just try not to do it because that is not real. That is not reality.
And sometimes I go to do it, especially like, I mean, I would say 80% of the time I don't wear makeup.
Yeah.
So sometimes I want to come on and talk, but equally I don't feel comfortable. Like, you know, sometimes you just, I don't know, you just don't feel comfortable. You don't really feel like you want people to see you like that. And then I just have to remember, like, people listening to this podcast who follow us on Instagram, you're not looking and judging us based on what we look like. You're not going to scroll past the story because we look a bit shit today.
But you know what? It's not about what people think about us. It's what we think about ourselves.
No, I know. But that's what I'm trying to reason in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't do it. Just put it out there anyway. Don't do the Paris filter. Just put it out there and whatever.
Someone who's really good at doing that, we've had her on the podcast, is Ashley James. And I love the fact that she often talks about it and highlights it. And I also love the fact, and we'll come onto this as well, that she's spoken about having Botox again since she stopped breastfeeding, and we obviously opened up about our you haven't had your Botox yet, but I've had two, and I'm booked in to have another session in a couple of weeks' time, so that'll be interesting because I'm going to do some little, I don't know whether I want to do a before and after, actually, because I don't know whether I want to promote it. I feel like I'm promoting it and I don't want to do that. I feel like everybody has their own has to make their own mind up on whether they want to do it or not. And she said the same thing, that actually she didn't want to openly talk about Botox because she didn't want to be seen to be promoting it.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like you don't want to influence people to do something, but equally, people are only influenced if they want to be influenced, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know where... Because I think education is power. So, you know, if you turn around and say, I'm going to have Botox, these are the results. Well, that's good because people can see how it happens, how you found somebody, that it works for you. But also they can sit there and not look at you and compare themselves to you if they haven't had that done as well. So I think it's really good to be open and honest about it. For sure. Yep.
Oh, okay. So much to unpick. Shall we get into some of these questions? Because we've had lots of people's statements, lots of people's thoughts, monologues going on in their heads, and also just like some questions for Georgia and I. So Georgia, kick us off.
I'll kick us off. This is from Vix. It's not actually a question, but she just says, I don't mind growing old gracefully, but didn't realise it would start at 31.
Oh my gosh.
That's the thing, isn't it? You don't, I mean, I don't know about you though, but I even look back at photos when I was like 22, 23, and I think, God, like I had actually so many hang-ups then in my head, but now I'm looking at myself and I think, Jesus, why did you feel like that? And I think that's what we have to remind ourselves, you know, at each life stage we're always going to look back and think, what was you worried about? You looked amazing. And you almost need to have that voice telling you that you're great and not to worry about
it.
But it is hard. It is hard.
Yeah, and I actually always think that if you feel good about yourself inside, you will feel good about yourself on the outside, because as we always bang on about here, this is not about standing in front of the mirror and like picking apart how we look. This is standing in front of the mirror and picking apart how we feel from the inside out. And if really being kind to ourselves and really loving ourselves and really thinking, do you know what? You are worthy. You are enough. You know, you are an amazing human being, and that all the rest of it should fall into place once we've got those foundations there. And I think, I'll be very, very honest here. I haven't been feeling very good about myself recently for various, you know, personal reasons. And, you know, I still think my HRT isn't quite right. I've been feeling really emotional, really up and down. And, you know, just looking at myself and just being like, oh God, my grays are there and I've got a mustache and, you know, this bit's flabbing and this bit looks tired and my wrinkles are there. I'm just like, oh, it's like a horrible fuzz to be living in. And then yesterday I thought, do you know what? No, stop. And like get some quiet back in your life and start really changing the internal language. But I think that's a lot of people go through that.
That's what I was going to say. That is the thing, isn't it? Because you can, you know, you can fix, if that's what we call it, like you can fix your wrinkles, you can have Botox, you can have fillers, you can dye your grey hair, you can do all these things. But ultimately, unless you fix your head... Yeah, you're never going to be able to fix what's going on the outside, because there will always be something. You'll always be picking it apart. And I mean, I even have this with like weight and like weight loss and all of that kind of stuff. And it's almost like you don't need to change your body, you need to change your mind.
Yes.
But it equally, that is easier said than done.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot. And I don't think I'm there yet.
No.
I'm still... up for changing the things on the outside.
Well, I love that. I love that from you.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? Okay, so yeah, this kind of moves us on to Kath's question. Yes. Thoughts on Botox, fillers, etc. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think if you feel that it will help you and it will give you more confidence and it will make you feel, you know, a bit more kind of happy in your own skin, I think it's absolutely your choice, a personal decision. You go for it if you think it will make you feel better. I know from me personally, it definitely helped me feel less exhausted. It just freshened up. I've only had it in my forehead. I'm not going to have it anywhere else on my face because I actually quite like my laughter lines around my eyes, and well, they call them crow's feet, and I'm like, they're laughter lines. And I've actually got a really good facialist and Botox lady who doesn't, she's not pushy. She doesn't go, oh yeah, no, I think we should try here and I think we should do here. She's just like, no, absolutely, I respect that, I think you're right, and let's just go for it. So yeah, I think all for it if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think I'll definitely give it a go over the next couple of months, so I'll let you know how I feel, you know, how I feel about it once it's done. But I don't really know anybody who's ever regretted it particularly. I think any of my friends who've had it done, they've been really happy with the results and happy with the way it's made them feel. I think the thing is, there's so many horror stories highlighted to us, and it's almost like for some people, they're the only sort of things that they, the only representations that they see, whereas actually there's so many people who've had it done that you would never know, and they just, like Zoe says, it just makes you look a bit fresher or a bit more awake.
And also, I just need to say this, please, 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 if you are going to do it, do your research.
Oh yeah,
word of mouth is a really good one as well. Speak to your friends, go to somebody that comes highly recommended that you know is going to do a good job. Please, 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 because, and also, it's not going to, like Georgia said, it's not going to fix it. It's just going to, you know, paint over the cracks, and you have to be you have to be okay with who you are on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is from Adele. Does taking collagen supplements really help?
Oh, I'm a big yes.
Yeah, I'm a big yes. I did a little test and stopped taking it for about 3 weeks, and I've really noticed the difference. Like, genuinely, really, really noticed the difference. Less glow. I feel like I look a bit more puffy. bit more tired. I absolutely won't do that again.
No, don't stop again.
No.
Yeah, we love them. Both Georgia and I take collagen supplements daily. Obviously, we've spoken about Vital Proteins. They're my absolute new favourite because I'm putting them in my green juice in the mornings. And then, of course, my Collo, which I've been taking for months and months and months and months and months. I think really beneficial for hair growth, just like Georgia said.
Nails,
brightening skin, plumpness of skin, hydration, all the rest of it. Yeah, I mean, do it.
I mean, yeah, I take the Beauty Pie one. It's not majorly expensive. Brilliant. But there's loads out there.
Is that Naomi? It's something we all have to do. It doesn't bother me.
Amazing.
Yes. Love that.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. You can see so much life in aging, but I'm so scared to get old and die. P.S. I know it's ridiculous and natural, but it makes me feel physically sick to think about it. I completely get that.
Are you frightened of dying?
I'm frightened of what I would leave behind.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm frightened of dying, but I think, you know what it's like when you've got children and a husband and a family that you just can't imagine, can you?
No.
Like what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think exactly the same, just frightened of what I leave behind. And also I just got so much more living to do.
Yeah.
So I guess I just don't want that to end, you know. I just want us to carry on with all our adventures and all the love and all the laughter. But yeah, I mean, death is something that is going to come to us. Death and taxes, can't avoid it.
You can't avoid them.
Okay, here's one. Aging parents, it's quite a worry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's such a worry. Yeah. And also, I've obviously spoken on here before, like my nan passed away just before lockdown. And my mum and my auntie now look after my granddad. And that worries me, you know, like it's almost like you go full circle. Like he needs, you know, a lot of help. And I just, it's hard, isn't it? Because you kind of think, God, I don't want to ever be like that. Or I don't want my parents to ever be like that. Mm. But my mum's going through it now with, you know, her dad. And it's really difficult and it's really hard. And it's not nice to see, actually.
Yeah, agreed. I agree. And the only thing I'll say on that is that I think it's really important to have the relationship that you, or the best relationship that you can with your parents whilst they're still here, unless, you know, there are circumstances that means that you know that you can't. I mean, a lot of us carry, I know that I did, a lot of stuff from childhood, and I was sort of beating my mum up about it. And actually now I've let all that go. We're in this really amazing phase of our relationship because I don't know how long I'm going to have her around for.
Yeah.
You know, she's 74 this year and it's a lot. So it's like, yeah, I just think we've got to make the most of it every single day. So much good, so much beauty, so much love. Just cherish the moments that we have with
them. Exactly. And also while you can do things, like do things with them, because I feel like it's all happened really quick for my mum and dad with like my mum's parents especially. One year we're all going on family holidays and going to Portugal and having the best time together. And then the next year one of them's not here and the other one can't travel. And, you know, like it happens so quick.
Yes, agreed.
This is from Jodie. A bit more of a lighthearted one. Makeup not sitting right in your lines. Foundation you've always used, suddenly looking blah.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
I like a good primer. What do you think about primer for sort of mattifying the skin? Yeah.
I really like primer. I probably go more like the glowy side for primer. Yeah. But I also have found that foundation now doesn't look so nice and I probably have to go for a bit of a lighter coverage now, something a bit dewier, a bit lighter, and then just use a little bit of concealer, you know, like where I'd need it. I definitely don't wear foundation half as much as I used to. But yeah, I guess it's just like, you know, you have to change your hair care, don't you? Like every 7 years or whatever it is. So
same with your foundations. Yeah, I was just about to say that.
It'd be your skin changes.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely have a little shop around. Lindsay Harrison's a really fantastic makeup artist. We've had her on the podcast, but if you follow her, give her a little look on her page. She does lots of compare contrasts. So like different tones, different shades, different brands. And you can kind of have a look how foundation sits on your face. But I do think, you know, the sort of prep to putting your foundation on is key. Like if your skin is dry and you're just washing it with water and then slapping on a bit of foundation, a bit of moisturizer and then foundation, your skin might look sort of drier than it would do normally. So, you know, like investing in a good serum and then your moisturizer, obviously pre that, cleansing, toning, do all that stuff. It just sets your skin up ready for it.
Exactly. And also those spritz, like, you know, like the spritz little spray things. I've got a hyaluronic acid one from Beauty Pie. And if my face is looking a bit flat and a bit dull, I just spritz that on over the top of my makeup or before I put makeup on. And it really does help. It is, like Zoe said, all in the prep.
Yeah, and also I think as well, a lovely little finisher is the iconic Set Prep and Glow, which it comes in two shades, but it just, if you put foundation and then use powder, your skin can look a bit older, I think, and a bit more aged. So actually just using that just freshens it up, and it also sets your makeup as well. It's a good tip.
Love it.
Best products for aging skin. I mean, we'll just come on to that. We'll just kind of move on to that one. But obviously, Georgia and I have got our favourites. For me, Murad is an absolute must in your drawers. I've actually just started using the Bare Minerals, their sort of anti-aging range. They've got a really fantastic retinol and a night cream for neck and face and a day cream. And I am loving their products. I've only been using them for a week.
I've never tried them.
Yeah, really fantastic.
Yeah. For me, I guess anti-aging products, I go for things that are really hydrating. So you all know that I'm huge fans of Beauty Pie, and I've pretty much tried most of the skincare now. The hyaluronic acid products, I absolutely love. The moisturizer under that range, I think it's fantastic. Actually, I was sent a targeted wrinkle corrector from Murad the other day. Yeah, have you got it? And you just sort of massage it into like targeted points. And I really like that. I think that's really great. But there's so much out there. I think really what you've got to look for is the active ingredients in each thing. So like your retinol, your vitamin C. Actually, I heard the other day that you think of vitamin C like, if you know, say an avocado and you want to stop it going brown, you'd put like lemon juice on the top of it. That is basically what vitamin C does for your skin. Wow. So you should use vitamin C in the daytime, like before you go out, because it almost, it's like what stops your skin from going like dull and, you know, like a bit, not brown, but, you know, just a bit off.
Yeah, a bit off.
Yeah, just a bit off. And I thought, oh, I like that. So yeah, vitamin C, retinol, they're like the key ingredients to look for.
Just on a final one for brands as well. I discovered Paula's Choice last year, and not many people know about Paula's Choice, and they do an incredible anti-aging range. But all of their products are really targeted, great results. And you know, you can have a consultation with them as well to figure out, you know, what's going on with your skin and what you need. So yeah, definitely check them out too.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, someone's just said about budget anti-aging beauty products.
Yes,
Again, I mentioned this on the podcast a few weeks ago. Superdrug, they have got so many amazing serums and products with some really great ingredients, like high concentrate ingredients as well, for £10 under that. If not, try Beauty Pie. It might feel like a big expense, like that you're factoring having to pay a membership, but what you save on products is so huge.
Love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely little statement here. Do what makes you happy, but grey is making a comeback.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Embrace the greys. Don't pluck them.
Don't. Get sad about getting older and my kids growing up. How can I live in the moment?
Me and Dozza are having endless conversations about this now, that we're living in this world where we want to consume more. We have to do more. We have to be better. We have to be the most successful. We have to have the biggest car. We have to have the biggest house, blah, blah, blah. And we're on this treadmill, this race that we're just running straight forward for it. We want to finish it. We've got to get there. And when we get there, we want more.
Exactly.
But we're forgetting about the journey. Mm. And every morning, like, I'm going through some stuff at home at the moment. I'm trying to like not drink. I'm a bit of a party girl. I love smoking on a night out. Like, I'm really trying to stop all of that because I've been waking up feeling shit the next day and like hating myself because I've had a fag the night before and all this stuff. And it's like, I am saying to him, and we're trying to live by this, that every morning it's baby steps. It's like, let's just enjoy today. Let's get through today. Let's make today the best. And actually the last week since we've got back has been a really calm, lovely environment. I've really appreciated the kids. I've really felt grounded. I haven't smoked. You know, like, I've just been really happy and content, just pottering and being quiet. And there is something really sacred in just stopping and appreciating that day, that moment.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's so difficult. Like you say, Zoe, I don't know what it is. And I really admire like friends and family who don't feel the need to just keep wanting more and more and more. But for those of us who do feel like that, I guess unless we do just live in the moment, we'll never actually be fully happy. Like, no, we really won't. So it, we, I think, yeah, we have got to learn to appreciate what we've got now. And yeah, just live. Yeah. live for now,
live how we want, be with who we want, you know, like it's all really important, all of that it sort is. Of stuff, because I was looking at faces on the school run this morning of cars coming towards me and people stuck in traffic, and apart from one person, everybody looked really fucking miserable, and I was like, oh my god, that was me on the other side, stuck in traffic 3 weeks ago, crying behind the wheel, going like, I'm bored, I'm in a rut, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't feel happy, I don't feel fulfilled, I don't like myself. Like, I was all, and I thought, no, like, life is here to be lived. Like, I find ups and downs, highs and lows, but actually, like, there is beauty, so much beauty.
I love that. I think we should finish there, because that was a really nice note.
Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Absolutely love today's conversation. I feel like we should do more of these, because it's like a really great topic to cover. And thank you guys listening for being so honest and kind of sharing your inner thoughts.
Yeah, I like the two-way thing, actually. Not just asking questions, but also sending us how you feel. So we'll definitely do some more of those. And thank you for sending the questions in, because it always makes me think, and I always go away with like some sort of new perspective or just feeling a bit better. So that's great. Thank you.
And as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a little follow. And of course, if you do know anybody that's not listening to the podcast currently, maybe just give them a little nudge, maybe just, you know, mention us, and it, you know, it might help somebody, because that's what we're all about.
And of course, we love to see when and where you're listening to the podcast, so please tag us on Instagram. We are at Made by Mummers, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.